Today's New Testament lesson comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And this is just after Christ had heard word of John the Baptist's beheading. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew there from a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Now, when I first read that this was the passage that the lectionary had suggested for today, I thought pretty much what I'm sure all of you just thought. Oh no, not the fishes and the loaves again. But it's a beautiful story, and we do love it, and none of us take that miracle for granted. None of us take the meaning behind it for granted. It's just that we've heard it so many times by now that we're no longer challenged by it. Now, I went to Pastor Dana after she asked me if I would do this sermon, and I said, "That's fine, but I really don't want to do the loaves and the fishes again. Everybody knows it." And to her credit, she said, "That's fine. Only once I make up my mind, usually God has a way of showing me who's really in charge, and it's not me." So for the next several weeks, I could not get this out of my head. And I finally looked back at it, looked at this this section in the Bible, and reread it, and there was a word that kind of stood out to me that I'd never seen before. And once that word stood out to me and that question formed around it, why was this word in there? I was like a dog with a new squeaky chew toy. I couldn't let it go. So here we are again today with this same passage that we've heard so many times before, only this time it serves as an example as to how God continues to open his word to us. Because while we are going to discuss it, I'm not going to say the words fish or loaves again for the entire sermon. And you're welcome for that, by the way. So here's the verse that pulled at me. I just read it, but I'm going to let it stand out for you. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." The word deserted seems odd to me there. This is a deserted place. It's an odd thing for somebody to say when they're surrounded by 5,000 people. So I dug a little deeper, and I looked up the same passage in different translations. Now, the English Standard Version, the King James, and the Orthodox Jewish Bible all use the word desolate. And the one I just read to you that says deserted is from the New Revised Standard Version. Our own Pew Bible, the Revised Standard Edition that we all have right here today, uses the word lonely. And that's the word I want to focus on this morning. This is a lonely place, they told Christ. Now that makes more sense to me. We can be surrounded by people and yet still feel utterly alone. We live in a digital age. More and more, our children, our youth, even ourselves, we're tied to the computer keyboard. We're tied to our cell phones. Some of us are right at this very moment. We tweet and Twitter, we post social status updates on Facebook, and we post endless selfies to Instagram. Now I'm going to translate for those of you who have no clue what I just said. We chat online and we upload photos of ourselves for the rest of the world to see. And yet for all of this world's increasing connectivity, we are decreasing in our actual physical engagement with each other. In 2009, a study found that in spite of, or maybe because of, our growing online social networks such as Twitter and Facebook, 12% of Americans who communicate using the internet say they have no one with whom to spend their time with or whom to discuss important matters with. In other words, more than 1 in 10 of us say we're lonely. They may have several hundred people that they call friends over the internet, but there's no real physical contact there. There's no socialization away from the keyboard. There's no going shopping at the mall. There's no trips to the amusement parks. There's not even something as simple as having a cup of morning coffee together. There are no shared experiences. This generation, more than any other generation documented before, is lonely. However, it's not just young people who suffer. The New York Times recently reported that between 1999 and 2010, loneliness in middle-aged Americans increased almost 30%. And if you're a man in your 50s, you can bump that up to 50%. What this all means is that, statistically speaking, there are several people sitting in this sanctuary right now who are suffering. If that's you, what you're going through is not unique. Loneliness follows us through our lives, every single one of us. None of us are immune. Whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're listening to me later on the podcast, you have been at some point or will be lonely. It's a universal experience, something that bonds us as humans. We're lonely on our first day of school or starting a new job. We're lonely when we survive the death of a loved one or the loss of a marriage or other close relationship. If this is you, if you've suffered in the past, or if you're suffering right now, you need to know this thing. This is not part of God's plan for you. Yes, as Christians, suffering is part of our lives. Sometimes Christians suffer while glorifying God or in order to further his kingdom. But loneliness is suffering that has no purpose. People who feel that way tend to isolate themselves from everyone around them, which only fuels their feeling of discontent. So loneliness serves nothing except to further its own endless desire to consume you. God never meant for us to be alone, and he never meant for us to feel lonely. The English poet John Milton once wrote, "Loneliness was the first thing that God's eye named not good." He was referring to a verse in Genesis 2:18, that says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" So there's one of the very first lessons that God teaches us in the Bible through his word. We need each other. And yet human nature wants us to send people away so that we can wallow in our own misery. Even those early disciples felt it. And they reacted exactly the way that we still do thousands of years later. "This is a lonely place," they said to Christ. "Send the crowds away." Now, at the risk of sounding like I'm preaching, I just want to say one more thing on this, and then I'll stop beating you over the head with it. This just kind of blew my mind a little bit. A study by the AARP showed that people who consider themselves to be lonely, listen to this, are less involved in physical social activities such as attending church services, volunteering, or becoming involved in the community. Can I just say, duh? The reason why I'm hammering you with this is this. There's not a soul alive who doesn't understand that withdrawing away from everybody around you is unhealthy. When we're hurt, we tend to do that, though. We tend to curl ourselves up into a little ball like a caterpillar in order to protect those vital organs, in order to keep ourselves from feeling more pain. And yet what we end up doing is just nurturing the pain we already feel and allowing it to grow. So just try to be aware of that, so you can recognize it, even if it's somebody else who is behaving that way. And now I'm done with that part. So I'm moving on to the good news now. And Marie just read this to you in the Old Testament lesson. "The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down." What that means is that, like all things, God can still use loneliness and aloneness for his good. God feeds us in those places. Just as he fed the multitudes, just as he's fed many people throughout the Bible's history. Noah stood alone in a world that worshipped everything except the one true God. And we all know what God did for him, right? Moses, many times, had to go alone to meet with God, surrounded by people, but yet he had to make that journey alone several times to commune with God. David cried out to God with his loneliness and his despair. Everyone he knew, his own son, his men, everybody turned against him, and he had to run for his life. Eventually, David turned to the only place he could, God, and God fed him. Read Psalm 25, and that was written by David, just to get an idea of his mindset. It's heartbreaking and yet so incredibly triumphant with his love for God. And then there's Paul, a man who planted churches, who converted countless people, a man who made 3 long mission trips, and who wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. It was Paul who wrote, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Doesn't sound like someone who's lonely, but he wrote that in a prison in Philippi. Paul was actually in prison on at least 4 occasions, and for one of them, in Rome, he was in prison for a 2-year period. They had put him in there overnight for his own safety, and he wound up staying for another 2 years. They just figured somebody might come along and pay a ransom for him, so there he sat. In fact, while he was defending himself to the Romans, Paul wrote to Timothy that everyone had turned away from him except for Luke. In his second letter to Timothy, he kept pleading with him to come and visit him. He was lonely, and yet he strengthened his resolve in those places. He continued to preach. He continued to praise God, and even in the face of adversity. And we can assume that he was well rewarded. Even though they might have been lonely at times, those men, Noah, Moses, David, and Paul, they were never alone. Even they were physically by themselves, God was always with them. He fed them in those same places he can feed you. If you're hurting, plant yourself next to someone else and get busy doing something. Give praise to God for that person and for giving you the strength to be able to pick yourself back up. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.